Praise the Lord, because that worked out perfectly, because today I want to talk about dry bones. And all the children can be dismissed. Praise the Lord. Oh, shh. I hope that wasn't the adults that said yay. Thank you, Lord. Let's kind of quietly go. Quietly, quietly, quietly. The song that was just up there, Let It Rain. I know that's my prayer. And we've been praying for that, Bob, for a long time, Let It Rain. And we're expecting God to let it, His rain to come down. But you know what? We have to be ready when the rain comes. Isn't that right? I mean, we could be physically ready, spiritually ready, emotionally, psychologically, whatever it is. God wants your total being to be ready when He's getting ready to pour out. But I tell you what I see a lot of. And I can say this because I'm up here and you're not. I can see things that you can't necessarily see. But I tell you, I see a lot of dry bones that need to be refreshed. And what I'm trying to say is that there are those of us here today that will really walk in despair and discouragement. We feel that our hope is all dried up, and that God has abandoned us and He doesn't care about us. And everyone else around us seems to be blessed, but we're not blessed. And everyone else seems to be getting healed and I'm not healed. And but I think a lot of that has to do with a spiritual dryness that we have. And that's why I believe the Lord has this message for all of us here today. I'm just calling it dry bones. Dry bones. In Psalm 63, verse 1, this is a prayer I always pray. When I pray, I say, "Oh God, You are my God. Earnestly I seek You. My soul thirsts for You. My flesh longs for You in a dry and a weary land where there is no water." When David wrote this song, this psalm here, he was wandering in the wilderness of Judah after his son Absalom had rebelled against him. And it appears that his mistakes and his sins, all the things that he had done wrong, had finally caught up with him. And to save his life, he had to flee Jerusalem. He had to run away because his own son wanted to take his life. And here we see in Psalm 63:1, that David is reflecting upon his life filled with sorrows and hardships. And he began to realize, and I think we all here need to begin to realize, that as David was not thirsty for water alone, he was thirsty for the presence of the living God in his life. And we have to get to that point where we are thirsty for the presence of God in our life. You know, we can be thirsty. You know, we can run around and exercise and this and that and say, "I'm dying of thirst, I'm dying of thirst." But you have to be dying for thirst of God, wanting and desiring to have a personal relationship with the living God. And this is what David is saying: "God, I earnestly seek You. My soul, my most inner being, It's seeking after you. It's thirsting after you. My flesh, that which is me, Lord, I'm hungry for you, Lord. I'm in this dry place. Have you ever felt you're in a dry place in your life? Not talking about physically, just spiritually, you're in a dry place. And you just need to have that spiritual rain pour out upon you. Well, this is what David is talking about here. And this is how I believe a number of us, many of us are feeling today. We've gone through many trials and we've gone through numbers of tribulations. We feel, you know, Lord, I've been faithful in the midst of this, Lord. Why are these things happen? And we find ourselves in a desert, thirsting for God, struggling with the fearful truth that in reality, we are dry. And we're weary. And we're dead in our walk with God. And we need to be refreshed. We need to be renewed. We need something unique to take place. The thirsting and the longing for relationship and fellowship with the Lord, to some of us, seems like it's evaporated. We don't have that thirst and that hunger, as David's talking about here, O God. Earnestly, Lord, I seek you. My innermost being, my soul, it's thirsty. My flesh is so hungry for you, as David had. We've lost that. Many of us have lost that hunger and that thirst for God. And that flame that once was bright and shiny has faded to a small little flicker of light. And we cry out to the Lord, revive my love, restore my light that I might live, O God. And in our desire to mend this broken relationship, I want us to turn to Ezekiel chapter 37. You have your scriptures. Turn to Ezekiel 37, and we're going to start at verse 1 here. Thank you, Lord. This is a word for all of us dry bones out there. There's not one of you out there who are not going through things. Not one of you are not struggling through something. You're wondering right now, is God still with me? Does God still love me? Does God still have a place in His kingdom for me? Lord, man, I've messed up. Lord, I've blown it. Do you still love me, God? And this is a word for all of us who feel this dryness in our life. You know, Ezekiel, he was a Kohen, he was a priest, and he was taken captive during Nebuchadnezzar's attack on Jerusalem in 597 BCE. And Ezekiel remained with the exiles in the land of Babylon. He was a contemporary. He lived at the same time as Daniel did, maybe even the same age as Daniel, and also of Jeremiah. And Jeremiah was a prophet to those who remained and still were in Israel and Judah. And Daniel ministered in the courts of Babylon. But here was Ezekiel. He was a priest and he ministered to the captives, those who were prisoners in Babylon. And his name means whom God will strengthen. Whom God will strengthen. And this is the essence of righteousness by faith. God provides the strength. And if you don't get anything else from this whole message, remember Ezekiel, whom God will strengthen. For God will strengthen me to do His will. God will strengthen me to do His life. And also in a broader sense, we should remember Ezekiel, whom God will strengthen as we face all the trials in our lives. God will strengthen us in every circumstance. Now turn with me to Ezekiel if you haven't, starting at chapter 37 and verse 1. Ezekiel 37, verse 1. And we're going to read, actually, here, verses 1 through 14. And this is from the Complete Jewish Bible. With the hand of Adonai upon me, Adonai carried me out by his ruach, by his spirit, and he set me down in the middle of the valley, and it was full of bones. He had me pass by all around these bones. There were many, so many bones in the valley, and they were so dry. And he asked me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, Adonai Elohim, Lord God, only you know that. Then he said to me, prophesy over these bones and say to them, dry bones. And I want you all, as I read these words, take these as words God is speaking to you right now. Say to them, dry bones, hear what Adonai has to say. To these bones, Adonai Elohim, the Lord God says, for you people, I will make breath enter into you and you will live. I will attach ligaments to you, make flesh grow on you, cover you with skin and put breath in you. You will live and you will know that I am Adonai, I am the Lord. So I prophesied as ordered. And while I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound. It was the bones that were coming together, each bone in its proper place. And as I watched, ligaments grew on them and flesh appeared and skin covered them. But there was no breath in them. And I know this is how I feel sometimes, and I know we all feel sometimes. We have the bones, we have all the skin, the ligaments, we're here, but we seem to be out of breath. Out of breath. And next he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man. Say to the breath that Adonai Elohim says, come from the four winds. Breathe. And breathe on these slain so they can live. So I prophesied it ordered, and the breath came into them. And they were alive, and they stood up on their feet, a huge army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. And they are saying, our bones have dried up. Our hope is gone. We're completely cut off. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, that Adonai says, my people, I will open your graves and make you get up out of your graves. And I will bring you into the land of Israel. Then you will know that I am the Lord. When I have opened up your graves and made you come out of your graves, my people, I will put my ruach, my spirit in you, and you will live. You will be alive. Then I will place you in your own land, and you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken. That I have done it, says the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord was upon the prophet Ezekiel. And the Lord set him in this middle of a valley that was full of very dry bones. It says they were so dry. Then amazingly, the Lord asked Ezekiel, son of man, can these bones live? And he replied, Adonai Elohim, only you know. You know, although this scripture here is directed toward the people of Israel who were captive in Babylon, who had no hope, full of despair, I believe through this word, the Lord is speaking to all of us in this room here today. He's looking at our tattered and mixed up and dried up and inconsistent lives, and he's saying to you here, can these bones live? Can these bones live? And the answer to this question is crucial for all of us. Yes. Yes, these bones can live. Yes, these bones can live. But he must breathe his ruach, his life, into these bones. God needs to breathe into each one of you a fresh breath that you may live. Now, do you remember when you first experienced this wonderful gift of salvation? Maybe you had just come out of a life of horrific sin, immorality, drugs, alcoholism, whatever it may be. And you first experienced what it truly meant, this wonderful gift of salvation. You remember how you felt, how good it felt, how clean you felt. And there was that time when you first received this gift that you just couldn't get enough of God's word and coming to services and being around the people of God and everything else that had to do with your faith. I remembered so much in my life. I was totally transformed. It was crazy. It's hard to explain. Just totally transformed. That my only thought, my desire was for God. And I wanted to talk to everybody about the Lord, telling them about what happened to me. But, for some reason, that newness wears off. Same thing when you long for something, you long for that new car or that new big screen TV or that new laptop or something, and you're longing for it and you're all excited and you get it and you play with it and then it just sits there. And then it doesn't mean anything anymore because the newness has worn off. But as believers, that relationship with God, that newness wears off and sin begins to get in the way again. Matthew 24 and verse 12 says, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. The love of most will go cold. Has your love for God grown cold? Obviously, you're here today. That's good. That means something. But has your love for God grown cold? It's what Yeshua said. In the world we live in today, the increase in wickedness, look around us. Evil everywhere. The world is terribly wicked and horrible. And the love of most grows cold. Shlomo, king of Israel, it was David's son. He had everything, the richest man in the world. God endowed him with wisdom beyond belief. People from all over the world came to see Solomon and all his splendor and his riches and his glory and to hear of his wisdom. And in his early days of his reign, he was on fire for God. But later on in his reign, he was lured away by a life of sin. Lured away. Solomon began to have many wives, hundreds of wives, if not thousand wives, from the other nations, peoples who had different gods, false gods, and he became ensnared in all of that. I've seen several godly believers who fell prey to sin in their lives and never recovered at all. Let it be their downfall forever. Maybe it was guilt. Maybe it was feelings of failure. Maybe it was belief that they had blemished the name of God and could no longer live openly for Him. whatever their reasons, they quit serving God. And unfortunately, many of us will never, or many of us believe it will never happen to us. And that's scary sometimes, because we think that this could never happen to us. But all it takes is those little foxes, those little entrapments, those little sins, those little lusts of the things of life. And before you know it, you're away from God. You're no longer serving Him. You no longer, as David prayed in Psalm 63, hunger and thirst for His righteousness. It seems gone. And then you're too embarrassed to come back, or you don't even know how to get back anymore. Life gets in the way. Mark chapter 4, verse 18 through 19 says, still others, like seed sown among the thorns, they hear the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. You know, there's so much to look at in the world that we live in today. So much. Unfortunately, too much of it takes our eyes off of God. It takes our eyes off of God. There is so much to do in this world that we live in today. Unfortunately, little of it pleases God. Little of it. There are so many tasks that are vying for our attention as believers. Unfortunately, few of them are tasks that God has laid out for our lives. All too often, we let the deceitfulness of wealth and the desires of other things come in and cool our love for God. And a lot of time, boredom sets in. And we find it too difficult to concentrate on the Bible. We don't enjoy reading it like we once did. When we force ourselves to read it, we sometimes realize that although we maybe have just read several chapters, we don't remember any of what we've just read at all. We weren't concentrating at all. Is it possible that we're bored with God's word? And I believe that there is a valley of dry bones in a believer's life. That means all of us in this room, there is a valley of dry bones in a believer's life. And it's a dry place. A place where there's no joy. It's a dead place. There is no fruit there anymore. It's a dangerous place. And no believer should ever stay there. How can these bones live? Look at it. Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 through 2 says, with the hand of Adonai upon me, Adonai carried me out by his ruach, by his spirit, and set me in the middle of the valley, and it was full of bones. And he had me pass all around them, and there were so many bones lying in the valley, and they were so dry. You know, you can't fix a problem until you face it. We believers spend too much time denying our problems. Oh, I'm good. I don't have any problems. I don't have any issues. I don't have any weaknesses. I'm good with God. I don't know how many times I've talked to people and, you know, how are you doing in the Lord? Oh, I'm good with God. I'm good with God. Is God good with you? Is He pleased with you? Are you doing right with God? We believers spend too much time denying. We must face a situation if it's to get any better. God, forgive me. We need to say, I'm in a valley of dry bones. Lord, I'm in a valley of dry bones. You know, the Word of God is still vital. It's alive. It's active. We need to read it even when it seems dry. Even if it seems dry as the bones in the valley, find a way to input God's Word into your life, because that's going to refresh you. There was a man. Listen to this story. I've read this story once before, I think, a number of years ago. A A man in Kansas City was severely injured in an explosion. The victim's face was so badly disfigured, he had lost his eyesight, as well as he had lost both of his hands. No hands, no eyes. He was just a new believer, and one of his greatest disappointments was that he could no longer read the Bible. Then he heard about a lady in England who read Braille with her lips. Hoping to do the same thing, he sent for some books of the Bible that were in Braille. But sadly, he discovered that the nerve endings in his lips had been destroyed in the explosion. One day, as he brought one of the Braille pages to his lips, he accidentally touched it with his tongue. And he felt a few of the raised characters. And he jumped up, "I can feel them. I can feel them." And like a flash, he thought, "I can read the Bible using my tongue. I can read the Bible using my tongue." The man was so excited that he could once again, that he could read the Bible. No eyesight, no hands, his lips, no nerve endings in his lips with his tongue. He was so excited he could read the scriptures. He read the entire Bible through 4 times. May God help us when we can't read His Word with 2 eyes, 2 ears, hands to hold the pages in the book, lips to proclaim the greatness of God. And we can't find the time or the desire to read. You know, prayer, the Spirit of God, is so essential. In Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, it says, Zechariah 4, 6, "This is a word of Adonai to Zerubbabel, not by might, nor by power, but by my ruach, by my spirit, says Adonai Tzevaot, the Lord of hosts." If you are in that valley of dry bones, pray for personal revival in your life. As believers, prayer must be one of our first disciplines. We have to learn. We have to pray. We have to ask God, "Lord, I'm in a valley of dry bones in my life. Pour out upon me your spirit. I need refreshing. I need to be washed and cleansed and renewed. I need that hunger and that thirst, O God." C.S. Lewis wrote, "The moment you wake up each morning, all your wishes and hopes for the day rush at you like wild animals. And the first job each morning consists in shoving it all back and listening to that other voice, taking that other point of view, letting that other, larger, stronger, quieter life come flowing in." Martin Luther said, "If I should neglect prayer but a single day, I should lose a great deal of the fire of faith." Abraham Lincoln said, "I have been driven many times to my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I have nowhere else to go. My own wisdom and that of all about me seemed insufficient for the day." That he had to fall on his knees. Robert E. Lee said the following. I know we're in a very politically correct society today. To even mention Robert E. Lee gets people all riled up, wanting to tear down every statue of Civil War generals and leaders and others that were on the South side, as they're doing even now in Tampa now. Big arguments and fighting over a statue that had been there 100 and some years, removing it. I don't believe in being politically correct. I believe in being biblically correct. We need to be biblically right. But Robert E. Lee said, he was general of the Southern armies of the Confederacy. A lot of people don't know he was a West Point graduate, and that he was probably the best, one of the best generals the United States ever had. He said, knowing that intercessory prayer is our mightiest weapon and the supreme call for all Christians today, I pleadingly urge our people everywhere to pray, believing that prayer is the greatest contribution that our people can make in this critical hour. This is during the Civil War. I humbly urge that we take time to pray, to really pray. Let there be prayer at sunup, prayer at noonday, prayer at sundown, prayer at midnight, all through the day. Let us pray for our children. Let us pray for our youth. Let us pray for our age. Let us pray for our pastors. Let us pray for our homes. Let us pray for our churches. Let us pray for ourselves, that we may not lose the word concern out of our Christian vocabulary. Let us pray for our nation. Let us pray for those who have never known Jesus Christ and His redeeming love, for moral forces everywhere, for our national leaders. Let prayer be our passion. Let prayer be our practice. So if I was politically incorrect in saying that, then you can take it up with God, because I'm going to be biblically right before God. And if you are in a valley of dry bones, ask others to pray for you. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 25 says, brothers, pray for us. Whether you're asked or not, pray for your brothers and sisters in the Messiah, that they don't find themselves in that valley of dry bones. And that dry bones, as I mentioned, pictured the whole house of Israel. Though things seem so hopeless, to Ezekiel and to his contemporaries like Daniel and Jeremiah, yet God had their salvation in view. Ezekiel 37:12, therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what Adonai, the Lord God, says, O my people, I am going to open your graves and bring you out from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. And these dry bones again picture the dried up, prune skin believers. And they picture all of us sometimes. Do they picture you? Does this speak about you? God help us believers to be revived in our faith, to experience the joy of our salvation once again, to see the dryness and the deadness that we're in the midst of, that we might seek your face, O God, and seek your forgiveness, O God, and your vitality once more. Revive us, O Lord, that we might serve you, O God. And the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, is the solution for us and for the body of the Messiah as well. There, another story has been told of a do-it-yourselfer. Do we have any do-it-yourselfers in here? Okay, I'm horrible at that stuff. Okay, I always find someone who's a do-it-yourselfer and have them do it. So there was a story of a do-it-yourselfer who went into a hardware store early one morning and he asked for a saw. And the salesman took him to where the saws were, and he took a chainsaw from the shelf and he commented that it was their newest chainsaw model, the latest in technology, guaranteed to cut 10 cords of firewood a day. So this do-it-yourselfer, he thought, wow, that sounded pretty good. And especially he was from the backwoods area, you know, not really an educated man from the backwoods. And said, yeah, I could use that to cut more firewood and I could sell that firewood. Wonderful. So he brought it out to him and the customer thought it sounded good. So he bought it on the spot. So the next day, the customer returned, and he was all exhausted and perspiring. He said, "Something must be wrong with this saw," he moaned. "I worked as hard as I could, and I only managed to cut 3 cords of wood from this. And you told me it could cut 10 cords of firewood a day. I used to do 4 with my old-fashioned handsaw." So the salesman was really confused. He said, "I don't understand." He says, "Here, let me try it out back on some of the wood that we keep here in the back." So they went to the wood pile, and the salesman takes a cord and he pulls it. Boom, and it starts up. And this backwoods do-it-yourselfer, "Jump back! What's that noise? What was that?" He didn't know that he had to pull the cord. He was trying to saw the wood without the power of the saw to help him. And it's very similar, like the believer who attempts to live the believing life without that empowerment of the Spirit. We need that what? Vroom! Who needs that? Vroom. Who needs that? Let me all hear you say, vroom, vroom. That's what we need. And if you're like this do-it-yourselfer backwoods man who's trying to do it without the power, you're not going to get anywhere. You need that empowering of the Spirit of God. Zechariah 4:6 clearly states our need, not by might, not by power, but by my ruach, my Spirit, says Adonai Tzivaot, the Lord of hosts. We need people to die daily, as Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, said in 1 Corinthians 15:31, and allow the sanctifying power of that Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, to work in our lives. And as His Ruach, His Spirit, works in us, we become a great army and powerful witness for the Lord. And the Lord cannot use us till He breathes life into the dry bones. Let the Lord give us that new heart that we need, that we so desperately need. In the previous chapter of Ezekiel, chapter 36, we see what it means to be born again and the resulting power for living obedient lives. Ezekiel 36, verse 26 and 27 says, "I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you. And I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my ruach, my spirit, my breath in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my Torah, my laws." This needs to be our prayer, that God will give us a new heart and a new spirit. If you're in that valley of dry bones as a believer, you need to be praying, "Lord, I need the new heart. I need your spirit. I need you to breathe into me. I need you to take this heart of stone that's right here and make it soft and tender and loving again. Turn it into flesh, oh God. Breathe into me." Just as when God formed Adam from the earth, He took the earth and he formed it with His hands into the shape of a man, and then God blew His breath. Now, it doesn't say how, but maybe God, in whatever form He was, He opened the man's mouth and He just blew right into his mouth. And the man just filled with the Spirit, the breath of God. And it was as if his body was inflated by the breath of God. And he stood up and he was a man and he was alive. And God wants to do the same. God wants to take you and breathe life into you and inflate you and empower you with His Spirit that you may live. And that needs to be our prayer. Breathe into our dry bones that we may live. Call upon the four winds to blow upon us a fresh anointing of your Ruach. And as Yeshua called out in John 11:43, Lazarus, come out. He calls to each one of you here today. He calls to you, Bob, and Alinda, and Raymond, and Mama over there. And each one of you here, Devin, and all else here, says, come out. Come out. Come out of the cave. Remove your wrap, the clothes of death that have you entrapped and wrapped around you. Remove it. Take it off. Live. Live. Come forth. Let each of us here be resurrected from our graves, that we may arise to a new life. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Let these bones live. Let these bones live. Father, in the name of Yeshua, I pray this is an encouraging word to your people, Lord. That they would see in the midst of feeling a dryness and even a hopelessness and despair, that you desire, Lord, to breathe your freshness, your breath, your Ruach, your Spirit into us, O God, that we may be empowered and inflated, O God.